Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Room 1710. I'm your host, Jarvis Owens, and today I have a very special friend with me. You know, you're someone who, you know, I can consider one of my spiritual people. Also, other stuff as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're definitely multifaceted. But everyone, I'd like to introduce Myra. How you doing, Myra?
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, so... you know, we always talked, and you're one of those people who definitely encouraged me to do the podcast as well, and then also introduced me to people to help with the podcast. But one of the things that, you know, I just wanted to share with people is just, you know, you and your story.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I really respect about you is your strength,
mm-hmm.
Your faith, and just also your good heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, I really admire that and try to be better on that as well. But, you know, I know one of the biggest things when it came to your faith, one of the, you know, difficult tests that you had to go through
mm-hmm.
was just when you started to have kids, right?
Right.
So how was, like, that journey? I guess if you can kind of just, I guess we can just kind of start if mm-hmm. you can explain.
Yeah. So, okay, so background.
Yeah.
I grew up in a Catholic household. I'm Filipino for background. And my parents were very into the foundation of Catholicism. And it wasn't to the point where they shoved it down our throats kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, even till now, still very much resonate with my relationship with God. And so, you know, sometimes religion has a stigma behind it. Like they say, like very religious people are this, that, or whatever, like the most judgmental, right? And I really try to be the difference of that, because I grew up with the very strict of strict Catholics, and with my parents, just continuously showing us, you know, the foundation of where God is, or who he is to you in your life and whatnot, right? So, of course, growing up, you're like, oh, man, it's Sunday. Here we go again, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you get in that mindset of, I'm a kid. I can do so many more other things than, like, go to church, right? But someone put it to me very impactfully, actually. And
is that as a kid?
It was kind of towards when I was older, but I'm pretty sure it was told to me when I was younger.
Okay.
Do you know Trudy? Do you know Trudy? So she's like my spiritual.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes.
You do? Yeah. So she's like, she's very religious person. And she had told me, and it's something that I already knew, but at the same time, like, it hit me for some reason. She goes, well, if you go to Mass every Sunday, it's literally just giving an hour of your time to God, just for the consistency part, right? And I think it's even when you don't want to go, is actually the time that you should be going, right? Because a lot of times you're going through some stuff, you're like, oh, man, I don't want to go because... for whatever reason, right? Whatever personal reason you're going through. And you don't just find God in church, right? That's why for me, like, he's with me in an everyday basis.
Yeah.
And I figuratively feel his presence. Because again, from the very young age, I've always had like a relationship with God, knowing that I'm a child of God, and I don't know, like, I just know that if crap hits the fan, mm-hmm. I know that I'll be okay regardless what it is.
Yeah.
And he's always brought me through everything. Okay, so I'm at a good age. I'm not going to say it here,
yeah.
but, like, I'm at a good age where I've been through some things, right?
Yeah.
So, literally, at this age that you're in, that I'm in, I have survived everything that I thought I was gonna like, oh my God, I'm going to die because of whatever this reason is, right?
You thought it'd be the end of it.
Yeah, you thought it'd be the end of it. But once you know it, like, you're still good, you know, after so-and-so. Like, there's always, you know, like, the ups and downs of life and things like that. Mm-hmm. So when you give yourself time to reflect and have that quiet time, that's actually when, to me, it's the most amplified. Mm-hmm. When you hear, you know, his words through whatever's happening with you. I literally make myself intentionally have that quiet time. So whether it be an adoration in church, that there's a chapel there, right? Mm-hmm. That you could sit and be one with self. Or when you're alone in right before sleep or something. Yeah. I was told when I was young that I had the gift of vision, where like,
what kind of vision?
Okay, so I this is why I barely talk about this, but Trudy was the one who retold me about it, because they told me that when I was young. I didn't know what that meant. To when I close, okay, you're gonna think I'm weird.
No, not at all.
Okay, when I close my eyes, I can, like, it takes me to a place where he's there, and I'm talking to him in this imaginary place, right? Which is, I call it paradise. It's like literally the most beautiful beach you've ever been to, with the whitest of sands, the purest of whatever that feels right, like to you. And I'm always taken into this place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, and I don't know if it's something that I have, like, made up in my head mm-hmm. since I was a kid, but it's always been like this. If I'm going through some things, you can tell that the moon and the sun or whatever environment that I'm in is darker than some days, right? It's mm-hmm. not like how it is right now, where it's like super sunny and that. Like, it literally resonates with what I'm going through in life. And then he'll talk and then I'll talk. And then that's how I like kind of unpack with him. And then he'll...
He's just your best friend.
Yeah. I mean, I like when that phrase, Jesus is my homie, or like, I quite literally have him as my homie.
Yeah. Sounds like you just kind of go on vacation, go to paradise, and then mm-hmm. you're just relaxing on the beach.
Yeah.
In a mellow mindset, and just talking to God.
Yeah. And he'll literally lecture me if he knows for a fact that I didn't do quite good this day or that week or whatnot, or I haven't seen him or haven't like personally gone in that place in like X amount of months, right? Like, man, where you been? You know, like, you know, he's always there to accept me. And
how often do you do these meditations, or?
I guess it's called meditation.
That's the only thing I can think about, because closing my eyes and it kind of, I have a spiritual awakening and I go somewhere else, mm-hmm. you know, I do yoga sometimes. So
I
guess
you
can
call it
feeling.
Meditation. Often.
Oh,
so
okay.
Again, there are times where I probably need to go there the most when I don't, right? That's why I keep saying to my own self, like, if you're trying to steer away from something that you know is good for you, it's probably something that you should make yourself do, right? So, for example, when there's something going on in my life that's deeper than what it is, and I'm just like, I guess in survival mode, and you're just like in the midst of like living life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I tell myself, okay, I need time to reflect, and then I'll reflect, and it can just be like that evening or that moment or like whatever it is. But I find it very comforting that I have that phase, and I don't know if I can like teach that to my kids, right? So that's why I put the oldest, Zayden. He's in Catholic school, and I had a very religious family, but I feel like there's a difference between someone being super religious and then someone actually having a connection with God.
Because
someone could be super religious, but you know, they don't have that connection.
Yeah.
So for me, I think it's really important to have that connection with the religion if you're going to do that, you know? So,
Yeah, no, I understand that. You know what's weird about me? You think that's weird. I think a little bit me mm-hmm. is a little bit more weird, because one of my connections with God mm-hmm. is sometimes I feel guilty for praying.
Mm-hmm. You feel guilty?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Asking for stuff. Mm. I guess sometimes, not to say like I grew up hyper independent mm-hmm. in a sense.
Can I ask you mm-hmm. what you would ask for that you feel guilty about?
Just help. Like, it could just be help. Like, hey, it could be, what, help me find a job, help mm-hmm. me land a job soon, or, I don't know, some type of heartbreak, or, mm-hmm. If it's not life or death, mm-hmm. you know, I don't feel guilty about it, okay. right? If it's kind of like a sickness or anything, mm-hmm. I think that comes more easily. Mm-hmm. But I feel, I've been the type of person that doesn't like to ask for help.
Okay.
You know, and it's weird not to ask God for help, but mm-hmm. to me, I'm just like, well, if I can do it myself, then I'll try to do it myself mm-hmm. without asking.
Right.
I don't know if that's stubbornness or whatever the case
so
may
here,
be.
So here, no, it just might be something that you need to find a different perspective on. Mm-hmm. Because for me, I ask. Mm-hmm. I ask because I have the audacity to ask, because I know that... I am worthy of it because I am, again, his child, right?
Yeah.
So he's looking for you to ask. Mm-hmm. And he can't just, technically he could, he's God, but like, can't just read your mind. He wants you to ask. That's actually how I feel I've built a connection with him. Because there's, even if you ask sometimes, he mm-hmm. won't give it to you. So if it's something not made for you, he's not going to give it to you. And that's probably for the better reason, mm-hmm. right? So even if you feel that way, again, do the opposite. Because I feel like because you have, I feel like that's more of a personal thing that you had that, you know, mm-hmm. Maybe growing up, I'm not sure.
I didn't like to ask my parents for mm-hmm. help sometimes, you know, and mm-hmm. I guess see God as a parent as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sometimes I just kind of don't, it doesn't resonate with me sometimes.
Especially with the gravity of the thing that I'm asking for. Yeah. And I'm not just going to ask for the sake of asking. I'm going to ask and I'm going to do the service of helping me get there and aligning me to whatever I'm asking for. And again, there are reasons why he doesn't give you certain things, I feel. You know, and it's really to protect you. And you won't know it until like later on in life. Or, yeah. you know, it could be yeah. like the next day. You'd be like, well, that's why. And then there are certain times and you'll know it in your life. You're like, that's why he was trying to protect me from something I wasn't supposed to have. Mm-hmm. And something that you so thought that that's meant for me, yeah. you know? And again, I think you should have the audacity yeah. to have that, because that's why he's there,
yeah.
you know? And you're not just asking, you're also like serving people, you know, of good. Like correct. you're one of my kindest friends and one of my most generous friends.
Yeah.
You're always there when you, you're one of those people that says, hey, that I feel comfortable when you say, hey, if you ever need something, mm-hmm. I got you. Mm-hmm. Like, I truly believe that deep down, like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. like if I call you, because I have in the past and you've been there. So yeah. I think that you should have that relationship with yeah. him.
And I've gotten better. Mm-hmm. It's taken... Mm-hmm. I guess maturity and even mm-hmm. experiencing different people mm-hmm. for me to get that way. Mm-hmm. I've been more consistent, especially mm-hmm. like before eating. I really, for the most part, 80% mm-hmm. pray before I eat. Sometimes mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm so hungry I forget, mm-hmm. or the food may look so good I forget. Mm-hmm. But I love those moments because mm-hmm. it's just that gratitude mm-hmm. and just slowing time down. That's what I love about yeah. praying before I eat.
Yeah.
But I guess another question I have too is like, have you ever like experienced anger to where you felt like you should have got something and you didn't get it, or you didn't get it at the time that you felt that was the right time?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Because I'm human, right? Yeah. So sometimes, like again, these are one of the things that I had to learn, because there are things that I've asked for and I didn't get, or there are things that I don't understand why I'm going through certain something, and I've gone through some stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I've always had that trust with him, the kind of like trusting the process, you know, like because sometimes things get bad and then they get worse and you're like, yo, what's happening? And it's really hard to, and he's testing you, you know, I feel like it's a test because you're like, just as long as I feel like if I'm doing my very best or what I know is my true values and I'm fine with that in the very end, then I feel like I just need to, again, go through whatever storm he needs me to because there's something there. Yeah. Again, it might be some form of protection that he doesn't want you to go there. Like, let's say, you know, like, how do you go through the bad things in life? Not everything can be rainbows and sunshine all the time, right? Yeah. Like, death happens, you know, things that he's taken away. I also think that, you know, a believer in the reason, the season, and the lifetime theory. So there is this quote, and I can't like resource it for you, but there is a reason and a season and a lifetime for people to be brought in your life or things to be brought into your life. Mm-hmm. And there's for anybody that comes into you with some form of relationship, whether it be surface level relationship or a deeper relationship, right? A reason for them to be there is to kind of help you figure out of something, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a purpose for them to be there. All of these people, there's a purpose for them to be there. There's a reason for them to teach you something, right? And it could either be like maybe bringing out something that you don't know about or something that you need to learn, right? And so lessons happen in life. So those reasons have to come out because of this specific relationship. Now, a season for that would be, and it's something that's very currently happening right now. It's supposed to be happening in your life throughout your life, right? So the season for people being in your life, like let's say you're going through some things, right, with a group of people. And these are the people that you thought, man, these are my ride or dies. They're going to be with you forever, right?
Absolutely.
But for whatever reason, God took them out of your life, right? And they're only meant to be there with you at a season point of your life,
right?
And they're supposed to either bring out your strength or find out your weakness and something that you can work on and help inspire you. Or, you know, it could be other reasons why they're there, but there is a specific, very loud, but you won't know it until they leave you in your life, right? So, and then lifetime people would be like the people that they're your foundation. They are like the village that was given to you, and they are there to always hold you down, regardless if you are in your peak or in your lowest. And to me, that is something that I've noticed, and I've always just trusted that, you know, that not everything is meant for you, right? But there are certain things that are meant for you, and you just have to ask for it. Hmm. Like, it's already there. It's already there, and you just have to ask for it.
So you believe you have to ask for something, not just necessarily go after
it. Sometimes I feel like I already have it, even though I don't physically have it.
Yeah.
That's like, to me, again, I don't know if it's like the arrogant person in your ego or whatever, but like sometimes the confidence, like for example, having a child.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I had the audacity to ask. That's a big ask. That's a huge ask. Like the doctors are telling me like you have slim to none chance of having a child on your own.
Yeah.
I had the audacity to be like, I'm meant to be a mom. I will make sure that I will, you know, do my very best to bring about whatever it is, you know, like it's like a bargaining part with God and things like that. But I asked heavily. I wrote about it. I envisioned it. I literally manifested these children in my life, I feel. And I've told you this story. Mm-hmm. And that's how I know for a fact that there is a God. Like, even before that, I knew there was a God. But, like, if there was any evidence that there is a God with me, like, my entire life as of this far, mm-hmm. and or I know for the very end of my life and throughout my life, that is one of the reasons why. Like, everything that I feel that he thinks I deserve, he gives me.
So did you kind of, mm-hmm. like, lose a little bit of faith when the doctors are telling you this news, like, hey?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you kind of, like...
I just pushed through. It made me closer.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I know some people get repelled when that happens, because you're blaming God for how, you know, I've done everything that you said, you know, this is that, whatever. I literally tell him, like, okay, this is a little hard for me, you know, and I understand that you're going to bring me through this. Again, it's that trust, right? Of all the years of my life, he has brought me and has me more than just survived. I've gone beyond survival sometimes. I've thrived.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's because I feel like, because of that, like, mm-hmm. my relationship with him, I just know that the things that, you know, when they say, like, things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
So there's some people who use things happen for a reason for, like,
it is what it is.
It, like, is what it is.
Being,
like,
dismissive.
Being,
is that what you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, some people use it for that.
Yeah.
I use it in that trust process. Mm-hmm. It's like the complete opposite of when they, like sometimes they do bad things and they're like, well, things happen for a reason. You know, like, I stayed up past, you know, so and so after my mom told me.
You know what's hard about that? It reminds me of a quote. Mm-hmm. This one poet said, I can't recall what poet was, but he said, the art of life is learning when to hold on and learning when to let go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what life is all about. And so when you say everything happens for a reason, mm-hmm. I think that's the dilemma that I go. It's like, how do you know to hold on? How do you know when to let go?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those things that I struggle with.
Sometimes he's yelling, like it's so loud that you should be letting go.
Yeah.
That you're just like, well, you know. But he'll let you know.
Yeah.
He'll let you know, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
That's what I said. There's a greater power, whether you believe God or not, right? There's a greater power beyond us. So, I mean, that's how I see it. Like, there are certain things that, you know, again, is meant for you. Some things are not meant for you.
So, do you, like, when you're going through adversity, do you kind of push through the pain?
Absolutely. Like, that's how
when do you stop?
I don't.
Okay.
You just persevere.
Whatever obstacles, just continue.
The most stubborn thing about me is I'm like, especially if I want something,
mm-hmm.
I get persistent. Now, if it's really not meant for me,
yeah.
then at some point I will figure it out, and then I'll still find my way to align to that, right?
Okay.
Like, for example, if not on what. Knock on wood, somewhere. if I didn't have,
not sure if that's real, but
let's say
it's real.
Kids, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if he told me eventually, like, let's say, you know, how do you know when it's not for you? Like, let's say I'm like 50 and I still don't have kids. Okay, maybe it is not for me. But if it's something that I know innately that I'm meant to be a mom and whatever that is, I will probably, like, foster children or, like, adopt children, or there's other means of that, having a child, like giving birth on your own, like, or whatever.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that we keep talking about children, but, like, this could be resonate with anything that in life.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Absolutely. Yeah. And I know you pushed through a lot because you were told no, like, kind of we talked about mm-hmm. earlier, and then also plenty of times, you know, the two kids that you have and miracle babies. If I remember correctly, I think you were getting IVFs.
Yes.
And then it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And then y'all just stopped, and then
boom. So, yeah. So,
like, what was that experience like?
That experience was wild, because when I say faith, like, it only strengthened my faith. Because in some people, I guess, will repel away from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I, like, held on tighter, if anything, because I had no choice. So I had nowhere else to turn. I wasn't telling close friends and family. Like, yeah. I only had Zed, yeah. Right? So for reference, when we were trying to have children, I got diagnosed with endometriosis stage 4, PCOS, and I was told that my chances for having a child is slim to none, right? And then for the scientific summary of it all, again, this might be TMI for y'all. Y'all can just fast forward. But a woman's reproductive system, they put a dye to figure out what was wrong, and my fallopian tubes were blocked on left and right at 25%, and the other side was like 15% blocked. And that's why we were going through the IVF process. Now, the first IVF process failed, mm-hmm. and that crushed us. Like, when I say it crushed us, like, I ask, again, you question your relationship with God, like, why, you know, this, that, whatever. And I did, maybe for like a moment, you know, but then I literally sucked it up and said, okay, there's a reason why you didn't give it to me at this time.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't necessarily mean no, right? You're saying there's a chance, there's that 15%, there's a 25%. When I say I get stubborn and persistent, that's what I mean. Like, most people will see that as, we'll just see the negative. You know, like, dang, that's technically 85% blocked and 75% blocked. Yeah, but did you hear? I have a 15% chance and I have a 25% chance on the other side, you know? So anyway, so when it failed, yeah, I did go through like really tough time, you know, and it's just not just me. It's like, I had to go through it with my now husband, you know? Exactly. And again, some people will either, y'all will either go against it or you get stronger with it. And, yeah, I felt like I continued to believe that this is meant for me. Yeah. And so we just continued. Long story short, during that wait for the next cycle, because there's a certain wait time for the next cycle, I was told to go back after my next monthly, right? Mm-hmm. So before going back, it took a while. And I was like, man, why is it like taking so long? And Simba, my dog, just kept like, this dog is so clingy with me, but he was like 300% more clingy with me. And I've never seen him like super, not aggressive, but like he like barked at somebody just for being close to me. And he's never done that at that time. And so I was like, what's going on? And I Snapchatted it. And one of my girlfriends was like, you should get a pregnancy test. Because my cat did that bad action, like, you know, different, like, super clingy and, like, whatever it was.
Yeah.
You should get a pregnancy test because, you know, that...
The behavior.
Yeah, the behavior of dogs. Like, they know certain things, you know? And so I did, but in my head I was like, well, you don't know what's going on. Like, nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So I did. I took the pregnancy test, and I didn't believe it, but, yeah, it said positive. I'm like, nah. Stop, you know, and this is us waiting for that next cycle.
Yeah.
So when I say that it's not for you at the time, that's what I mean, you know. And it, sometimes it's just really not for you, and there's something else, you know, you, whatever that is. So yeah, and then turned out I was pregnant, and I took 8 more because I was like, I was in complete disbelief, like, you know, and I was like, because I think it came in 3-in-1 or something like that. But I took a lot, and I was like, no freaking way. And I didn't even tell Zedric at first because it's devastating. Like, when you tell him and it's like not confirmed, you know, and I don't want to put him through something that I can maybe safeguard him until it's ready.
I mean, that's your husband, you know.
It is, but I want to make sure. I mean, if I'm going to tell him, I'm going to tell him, like, yeah, I took night tests. I took a blood test. I took some confirmation tests to be like, yeah, this is what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
This is what the statistics or the testings say. And then now it's more of a, oh man, this might be happening, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what happened with us. So when I say he's a miracle, that's what I meant. Like, I was told I wasn't going to have it on my own easily.
But so after you found out, what was your next conversation with God? What did you talk
about? Oh my goodness. I like was so happy. More than just happy, I journaled like crazy. I journaled like telling him like, you know, I'm going to prove to you my entire life of how I'm meant to be this person's mom or person. Now his name is Aiden, right?
Yeah.
Because I begged for it for so long. I begged for it and I like asked for it. And then I just kept, again, strengthening my relationship with him. And I felt like me, and then I really thought about it. I go, maybe he made me go through this because there are certain, I didn't tell anybody, right? But the moment that we announced about the situation, I like wrote kind of like the process of how we did it. And like multiple friends of mine, women, that has been going through some things, like revealed through private conversations, like, dude, like, this is what we're going through.
Wow.
Yeah, like, and I felt like they had no outlet, you know, they didn't have any outlet until I talked to them about it. Like, I didn't tell anybody about it. This is kind of like what I was going through, except now they see somebody who's going through it, and you know, now that they saw me, like, a few of them really ask for advice or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so like I told them, you know, everybody's going to go through it differently,
mm-hmm.
but this is what I went through. And so you could take whatever you can with my,
experience,
you know, my experience. And then, you know, again, like with whatever I can, I'll help you. Like, I'll tell you all the professionals I went through. I'll tell you like the stuff that I did. Cause I that's when I lost so much weight. Like I like worked out every day, twice a day, like almost unhealthily, like, you know, because it was like, I was obsessed. There was an obsession part of me where like, no, I'm going to be like my most fittest part of my life, et cetera. So, to prepare for this child,
okay.
I literally helped my body prepare knowing that I was going to be pregnant eventually.
Something like nesting, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
Is that what you call it? Because I, in my head, again, even though they told you you're not, you know,
yeah.
I literally was like, bet, like, I'm going to, with the slim chance that I have, I will make my body prepare for it, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that when it's ready, I stay ready.
Yeah, yeah,
you don't
got
to get ready if you stay ready, so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the opportunity presents itself, you're already ready
yeah.
for it, yeah.
So that's what I did.
Oh, man, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I was about to ask another question. I forgot, but it's okay. But yeah, nesting, you know what nesting is though, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
For nesting.
Around the house.
Yeah, I nested when I was like at my last trimester for both boys, as if like they were here.
Yeah.
Like I prepared, and Zedric nested too, like he nested well. Yeah,
that's
he
good.
Like built everything, he didn't proof anything because we're not really like big safety proofers.
Yeah.
Like we think that the kids will just eventually like learn not to do it. But of course, when you're around that corner of the table, we gotta make sure to tell them, you know? So we were one of those parents where like, oh, they're gonna learn, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, when he nested, like he built everything. We like, you know, we had really great community support. Like we had a really, we still do have a really good village.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because at that point, like we had like seven baby not just showers because it was gender reveals, baby showers, baby, like what did he have, a diaper party?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
like
yeah,
he just
yeah,
had,
yeah,
we just
yeah.
had a whole bunch of support from the community.
Yeah.
And like they helped us nest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's what nesting felt like for me.
I forgot about the diaper party. That was my first time experiencing something like
yes.
that. Where it was just the...
You want to talk about that diaper party?
It was fun. It was
fine.
You know, hey, you know, guys have to get together.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what that is, right?
Yeah, you gotta... I mean, hey. Yeah. It was different. You know, something
yeah.
that...
No one's had a diaper party like he had, and then everybody showed up with a diaper party like he had.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely different. It
yeah.
was different, but...
I expected nothing less of that. Yeah.
But that's it. But and then also, I love one of your passions too, how you do floor designs. Because I like your work. You know, I'm a big fan of art, whether that be just kind of like, you know, stuff on the painting or even just podcasting. I see that's art. What made you get into that?
So I've always, for me, I feel like I'm more of a creative than I am anything else. Like, I love to create things. Things, I want to get my hands in it. I want to, I like seeing the, I like the process of it all. Like, I like knowing how things are made, whether it be electronically, like, you know, like how engineers do it and whatnot. Like, I like knowing how things are made, but creatively speaking, I feel the most, I feel the most in my element. When I'm like creating something. So I just resonated more with flowers because it's so pretty. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I just wanted to be that and at the same time make someone happy, like at the end of it. Because one of my most favorite part is like the reaction of whoever got the flowers or like whether it be wedding and events and like fulfilling something that they had painted this picture for you, right? Like, oh, this is what my vision looks like, and then you like create it from the beginning and then you finally see it and to this like full-blown wedding. Oh my gosh, it's I just love being in that creative space.
So is giving gifts like high on your love language?
Giving gifts
or
my
acts of service, one of those.
So for me, so Zed's act of service is his love language is act of service. So I've learned that throughout our relationship. We've been I've been with this man for like close to 25 years. What is it? 2024
Yeah.
So we've been together, dating with marriage, right? 24 years, but I've known him for 25 years. Wow. So when I say like he has trained me, right? I know the word trained, is, you know, used in the way that it is like when you, you know, train people, but I'm trained to see that he feels the most loved when I do something for him, whether it be cooking for him or it's something that he mentioned like through a conversation and I do it, right? So to him it's like your word is your word. So like if you tell him that you're gonna wake up at 5 and you're gonna work out and you're gonna do this, this, that, whatever, and then you, the next day you don't do it, oh man, this man will like call you out like no other, like, you know. So that's the kind of I guess that I've had with somebody with that as their main love language. But for me, I think it's words of affirmation was my number one, and quality time would be up there. The gifts is because it just, so I joke, but like it's for me it's all five. It's literally quite literally for me all five.
It's just, it should be everybody's. Mm-hmm.
But he, like some people, I noticed that for gifts, like, for example, okay, I'm just giving gifts as an example because, like, I don't see some people having that, like, all five. Like, it should be all five, like, there's some, like, percentages and whatnot, but, like, for me, like, it's all five. Like, I love giving gifts. I love to see the person's reaction. I love hearing, like, oh my gosh, Mara, I love this so much. I see that you use this pink flower in, you know, in partnership with this purple one, whatever. You know, like, something that they notice. And it's like, and then you did this. You woke up at 5 a.m. for me. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, they hit, like, all the
Senses. Yes.
Yeah, and all of the love languages when it comes to it. Like, that's what I just... I'm a big believer in the love language. And the moment I read that book, and I think everybody should read that, not just for a relationship-wise, but overall your relationship with others.
Yeah. It won't completely solve a relationship, but it would give you perspective.
It definitely.
Not even just romantic relationships. I even think just, like, any type of relationship. I think it kind of really helped me understand my dad more.
Right.
Because my dad is a person who's not really a big gift giver. He's all about like kind of acts of service. So like once that started clicking, I was like, okay, now, and you know, he's probably not as vocal as he should be, or maybe doesn't really recognize it, but I was like, okay, now I can approach him differently as far as what he likes. Right. So instead of, my dad doesn't like gifts, I bought him like many different things, and certain things are like, you know, good, but if anything, my dad loves like food.
Okay.
Right. So if you cook him food,
I was gonna say, yes, if you cook him food,
that's high.
Yeah.
That's
like that's the ultimate. Yeah.
Yeah. He could probably care less about I would say a new car, but that's extreme. But mm-hmm. you know, to him, at least how I feel, what I noticed, that what matters the most to him is just, hey, do something for him, because he's a person that likes to do stuff for other people.
Yes. And that's what I've noticed, that people usually, whatever your main love language is,
yeah,
that's how you tend to show love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the thing about where the book explains kind of how you receive love, right?
Yeah.
Because let's say, what's your love language?
I mean, all of them, like how you said.
Yeah.
But if anything more,
mm-hmm.
I would definitely say words of affirmation. So
mm-hmm.
I like to podcast. So I
mm-hmm.
believe in that beauty. Quality time. So those were, I think, my top two right
mm-hmm.
there. Words of affirmation, quality time. But I love gift giving. I love acts of service.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably not used to acts of service
mm-hmm.
because I have a problem. Like, even though I love giving gifts,
mm-hmm.
I have a problem receiving gifts.
You have a problem receiving gifts?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. I don't
mm-hmm.
know if you remember, but that white elephant party we had.
Okay.
And then how we, I love the way y'all did, how we had to take shots in order to keep our white
yeah.
elephant gift.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I remember getting it and receiving it, and I love that present.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I was about to give it away.
Which one is it?
When I went to the Rockets game. It was the Rockets versus the Lakers.
Give it away?
I was.
But you fought so hard for that.
And I really wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember calling my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I felt guilty.
Why?
Mm-hmm. Don't know. I haven't been so good at receiving gifts, and
mm-hmm.
I guess that's probably to go back. That's one, maybe that ties into me when I pray, asking
okay.
for help.
Yeah, I think so.
I had to work
mm-hmm.
on that, and that
mm-hmm.
was a big lesson. That white
mm-hmm.
elephant gift.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge lesson. I was like, okay, Jarvis, you need to work on yourself. You need
yeah.
to learn how to receive, because
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't, it's not healthy to always just give
mm-hmm.
and then not let other people
but
show
you,
their
but
appreciation.
You're not just I don't see you as a taker only. You
mm-hmm.
reciprocate.
Yes.
So you should be okay with receiving.
Yes.
Like know that you deserve it.
Yes, I should,
mm-hmm.
but what I had to work on is
mm-hmm.
just receiving and then just stay right there. Because
mm-hmm.
automatically, it's just like, you know, if I receive something,
mm-hmm.
I have to automatically feel I have to get this back to you within 2 minutes, within 2 days. I
mm-hmm.
have to, you know, reciprocate.
Right.
But sometimes it's just like, no, just sit in this gift
mm-hmm.
and then just accept.
Yeah.
You know, because you probably have done something 10 plus years ago that probably changed someone else's life.
Right.
So just let it happen to you, and just
mm-hmm.
receive it, receive God's gift,
mm-hmm.
and let that be that. But it was hard for me, because
mm-hmm.
I think most of the time
mm-hmm.
as a kid,
I was gonna say,
yeah,
when you were growing up, was a gift giving a thing for your family?
Only on Christmas and Christmas and birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's
mm-hmm.
not that day, not really.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying anything bad about my parents.
Right.
But it was just like, okay, it's Christmas and
mm-hmm.
your birthday. That's expected. But for
mm-hmm.
to get a random gift, like,
mm-hmm.
no.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so thoughtful to others.
Mm-hmm.
But
I know you are.
Yeah.
You literally, I think every time you come in this house, you don't come empty-handed. Like, you come in with something.
Because I think about people. And you know what's crazy? I researched
mm-hmm.
my name.
Mm-hmm.
The origin of
I'm
my name. Yeah, right. Just a really very intelligent
mm-hmm.
system. That's the
mm-hmm.
acronym. But
yeah,
I think
that.
Jarvis means it's like spearman,
mm-hmm.
and it's like someone who is a service to others.
Oh.
So I kind of live up to that name a
mm-hmm.
lot of times. But yeah. Long story short,
mm-hmm.
it's something I have to work on. You know.
Yeah.
Because especially in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I take a step back and I kind of realize certain things, it's
mm-hmm.
like I had to put in all the work.
Yeah.
I did everything, and I didn't
yeah.
really receive.
Yeah. Learn how to, that reciprocation is huge. I think.
Yeah.
So learning how to accept it is a lesson for you to learn, like you said, you know?
Yeah. And then just growing up in the traditional, mindset with the parents and the grandparents, mm-hmm. that's typically what you saw. It was the men overexerting and just giving everything, and we really kind of didn't receive much,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Because men are typically the main providers.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. and the way that the culture is set up, like even, I remember just being, I remember being upset on Valentine's Day,
mm-hmm.
right? This is years ago when I was a kid, and my sister got a gift from an uncle or a play uncle of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, well, how come I didn't get one? And it's uh-huh. just like, well, Valentine's Day is for girls. And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Valentine's Day is all about giving love to mm-hmm. people. So what I mean by that is growing up is like men don't really receive
I
much.
See.
That's kind of how mm-hmm. it was
I think
I grew up in.
I think that you can change that in from here on out in your
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Life.
Oh, what?
Because I feel like, again, you are somebody who's just mm-hmm. like you giving of service to others, like
yeah.
you know, I knowing you, you've always been like helpful. Like we'll have a party and you'll see me like taking the trash out, you're like, I got it, and I'm like, no, you're a guest, and you're like, no, I go here often, like
yeah.
I'm okay with taking this trash out, like very gentlemanly. And not a lot of people, again, it's a quality that not a lot of people have. And I think
mm-hmm.
that it's something that I'm not struggling, but like I want to make sure that my kids do that.
Yeah.
You know, for others, like I want them to be the one that says, "Oh, let me take that out for you," or like even before saying it, like they would just initiate and like that masculine trait. Now, I'm not saying that women are not to take out trash, right? I'm just
yeah.
I'm saying like it's such a to me it's such a quality that again not a lot of people. Have nowadays,
mm-hmm.
But growing up, like, you know, like Zedric is the same way. He takes the initiative to do things like that, and that's something that I've always loved about him,
mm-hmm.
that he'll just do it, you know, without asking,
mm-hmm.
and so that's something that I
mm-hmm.
definitely see that in yourself as well.
Yeah, yeah, just the environment I grew up in, with the whole taking the trash out and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That environment, well, that mindset came from the environment of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So Christmas, or really even Thanksgiving, too. I'm going to say that, too. But during the holidays at my family's house,
mm-hmm.
whoever is hosting the party doesn't have to really do any work. You did a lot of work already.
Mm-hmm.
You probably did, you know, setting everything up. You probably did the cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to the cleaning, hey, this is what the guest is here for, to
mm-hmm.
make it easier. So it's like, you don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where it comes in. It's just
I
like,
see.
That's where
mm-hmm.
things click to me. Whenever
mm-hmm.
I come here, I'm like, yeah, let me do this. Because, like,
mm-hmm.
hey, you're providing this already.
Mm-hmm.
It's the least I can
yeah.
do.
No, it's very helpful. I accept it, but I also have trouble, like, accepting it. Because it's I told you, like, that's why I'm asking you why you're having trouble. Because
mm-hmm.
it's something that I had to learn as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the gift-giving thing. Like, you
yeah.
know, I didn't grow up with much, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I didn't grow up with I was, you know. But growing up in New York, like, with my family, we lived in a basement. There's, like just five of us.
Yeah.
The rest of our family's in the Philippines. And it's just my very intimate family. My mom, dad, brother, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, like, we didn't have much because we only lived off of my mom's paycheck while my dad watched us when we were school kids, right?
Yeah, that's right. I remember you mm-hmm.
yeah. yeah. And so for me, like, growing up with that foundation, I think I only saw great things come out from it. Like, I feel like I'm grateful for a lot of things
mm-hmm.
That I have now in my life that I did not grow up with. And the things that I work hard for, and my husband, you know, Zed, like, we work hard for. But now we're at the, now that we have two kids and we're bringing them up,
yeah.
I'm having the issue of, like, how do I make sure that they also grew up with that same mindset the way Zed and I grew up in? Because he also came here. We're both immigrant families.
Yeah.
You know, and we were so grateful we even just get anything.
Yeah.
You know, we got one gift a year for the, two gifts because you have your birthday, right?
Yeah.
So growing up, it was like that. But these kids here, they have their grandparents who are now, you know, having the, now they have McDonald's money, you know, and they're able to like take them to what they call the red store, which is Target, the green store, which is the Dollar Tree. Like, and then they just have these things. And the grandparents are just like, I'm trying to tell them, like, can you, when you guys give them something, can you at least attach it to a goal? Because, or like, make sure that they work hard for something, like earn it or something, because you didn't teach us the way that you're doing now. I'm like, yeah, but we're the grandparents. We're supposed to spoil them. Like, oh, I don't want my kids spoiled.
Yeah.
I don't. Actually, it's something that I am struggling with, that I want to make sure that they don't grow up like that. I don't want them to be, like, arrogant little pricks growing up, because they're able to, you know, grow up with everything handed to them.
Yeah.
They're not struggling how we were when we were kids.
Yeah, completely different life.
Completely different life.
And you have to adjust completely different roles.
But you, at this age, like, you appreciate that struggle, because you're like, man, now you're here, you know, start from the bottom, now you're here. Not that we're here, it's like up here. I'm just saying, like, it's something that is not that we were, something we were used to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think a lot of that in life has changed too. Like, I have to, one of the things I like to say in interviews, is one of my biggest attributes, is I have the ability to learn, unlearn, and learn again. And so, I think that's really important, especially,
bad habits.
Or just adjusting to different times. I remember, talking to my parents about dating and stuff like that. Oh man, what did I, it was something about like the bill, something of that nature.
So cause you're the guy.
I think I said something about as far, man, I said something, they thought I was so crazy. But anyways, just the whole gender thing about as far as like the guy pays for the first date or whatever. I think I said something about going Dutch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they're like, no, you can't do that. You're blah, 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 blah. No girl's going to want you. And I'm like, but why do we still have that? You know, and it's just like, and you know, that goes back to me really learning how to receive.
Okay.
Because especially as a man, you know, if you're if you're a good traditional gentleman, stuff like that, the courting stage, you're supposed to give.
Yes.
In a sense, right? And so I remember having a conversation with one of my friends, female friends. I was just like, what does a woman do to showcase that she's like a good woman courting me? You know, because I can tell you about it, you know, good things that guys do, pull out the chair, pay for the check, everything in that nature.
That's true.
So what, you know, what am I supposed to receive in this that lets me know,
like, what you get out of
I could possibly be on the right path? And it was just like, no answer. And so I was like, well, maybe going Dutch is probably a choice. You know, maybe it's just like, hey, that shows like, hey, you're not really thinking about what I'm giving you. You're just here because you want to spend, which is the most valuable thing in life, is time. You're willing to use, you know, spend your time with me. And it's not about what I'm doing while we're spending time, or what I'm giving you while we're spending time. So that's just one of the things.
And I mean, again, I haven't dated.
You haven't dated.
In forever, right? And I have conversations with you and like all my other friends who's gone through the app stage. Right? And, but like, I think it's a different time, right?
Yes.
So I can't say, because I feel like, I guess if you're going to call it, I am traditional in that way. And I want to teach my son that you have to be, like, what your parents are teaching you. Because a gentleman who is, you know, when they say chivalry is dead, like, I want to make sure that they stand out for being that, beyond going beyond whoever, right? So for me, it's like, the reciprocation part is big. Not that I'm saying, you know, that kind of reciprocation. I'm saying, like, did they take the time to look good for you that day, right? Was a conversation like this, kind of flowing, right? Or, like, were they just giving you the cold shoulder? You know what I mean? Like, I mean,
there's that,
there's that. Like,
That's a big part.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like am I really there to get to know you in a very humbling type of manner with humility?
Absolutely.
Not just like, I'm just here for the food. I'm here for the appetizer and some drinks.
Because that happens quite more.
That to me is crazy. That to me is crazy because, I'm not in the dating world, so I can't say. I can't imagine being a woman being asked that on a date and not being a good, partner in that, you know, even in though it's like stage. Beginning stages, you know?
Yeah.
Like, first impressions to me are huge, too.
Yeah. So. I think part of it, mm-hmm. I'm just imagining, I don't know what it is, mm-hmm. but I think there's a big sense of distrust of people women not trusting men.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of like, I don't know. I'm probably wrong. I hate to say if I'm
wrong. Oh, I think I know what you're talking
about. But I think more nowadays, at least when I think about the music, I mean, I'll just stay right there.
Mm-hmm.
If this day and time could represent the music, or the music could represent the day and time that we're in right now, I think a lot of women don't trust men a lot now.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
I mean, but it makes it hard for the...
I feel like it's you know, both.
Yeah.
You're one of them.
Yeah.
I talk to my guy friends and I hear about the way the dating scene now is. And I can see why people don't go in there with an open heart. Why it's so closed. And like, they have this like, you know, shutters.
Yeah. And it may be my age,
mm-hmm.
or maybe the time. I don't know which one of the two, but yeah, it gets more and more difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, but also at the same time, I think a lot of people don't want to do the work.
Yeah.
Not even just necessarily be in a relationship, but even when something ends, reflecting on stuff, it's like, hey, what did I do? Or how can I change? Mm-hmm. What I learned is a lot of people just kind of, there's a huge disconnect with that type of empathy. Or with that type of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really big now, too. I think a lot of people are really emotionally disconnected.
Oh, yeah.
And it's... I
think that's sad. Mm-hmm.
But it's survival.
Yeah.
It's sad, but people are trying to survive out here. Yeah. So that's how I see it. But
to me, it's sad because I'm so, like, authentic in the way that I speak and talk. Like, even just in a friendship level, like, I feel like, you know... I don't know, like, that's tough for me, because that's why I am so glad I am not in the dating scene, because I don't think my heart is cut out for, I will probably, like, not want to do it.
So what are some, let's talk about marriage a little bit, too, because I'm kind of curious, what would you say are, like, some good, it might be some,
you're good.
What are some good, tools to have in marriage, because I think marriage is very hard.
Marriage. Okay, so 10. We're at 10 years. So I'm not saying I'm a pro at marriage. Yeah,
wow.
We're at 10 years from January. So marriage. I'm not a pro at the marriage thing, because it's something that it's a very ongoing thing. So for me, if you are not married and you want to get married,
correct.
How I would, really,
there's a dynamic I'm trying to get at. That's actually good. If I'm not married,
feel like values, you have to align. I feel like you have to know yourself. Work on yourself and what are your values, and make sure that you are aligned with your values and that the person that you are choosing to marry will have the same and or similar in values, right? Because the way that works is, now you'll know yourself and what is a non-negotiable, what is a something that you make sure that, that's important to you, that has to be important to them as well. So faithfulness, like let's say is God one of them, right? Or is what other values are there? Is giving back one of them?
Yeah.
You know, or is going out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like I feel like things like that should be weeded off the first few years. But the people in the relationship has to be treated themselves. So that's why, when you're in a very young relationship, and I come from, like, we started dating when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
We were 13, right? Were we 13? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were kids. We were babies. No, 14, technically. We met at 13 and we started dating. I think we, no, 14, whenever freshman year is. 14 years old. And to me, that's so young. And he is the guy I ended up marrying, right? Yeah. He's the one relationship I've had. I've had no other boyfriend. So, I don't know if my, if my advice is going to resonate with anybody. But for me, if you are going to be with somebody, you got to know that that is the person that you have to accept for who they are, and at the same time challenge them to be better, right? Okay. Because, like, there's people who are like, well, they should love me for who I am, right? I mean, you know.
There's that. Yeah.
There's that, but at the same time, it's like, well, if this person feels like you are better than, you can get to a certain level and challenge you to get there, mm-hmm. in a non mean way or whatever you want to call it, like, yeah, aggressive or like pushy, yeah, but it, in a more inspiring way, then that, I feel like that would be a good match, like, mm. because you are gonna be with them for, again, a lifetime. Marriage is a lifetime, right?
Correct.
So you have to, they're gonna be seasons of this specific person that you're gonna be with, mm-hmm. and you have to learn to love and accept them in every one of those season changes, right? So, like, the 14-year-old me, the 14-year-old Zedric, the 21-year-old Zedric comparison to the 14, the same to, like, different genres of, like, the age.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we had lots of different changes of who we were, because we're, again, we're trying to find yourself. You're trying to learn about yourself and what values you really resonate with, and, like, all of those, make sure that they're aligned, because you have to learn to accept this person. That's why I say values, because that's your foundation, right?
Yeah.
So, like, even with these different adaptions of, like, whoever you are,
yeah.
you got to learn to adjust them, to adjust in a way where you will love them, because the 14-year-old to the whatever, like, let's say 30-plus-year-old,
yeah.
they're not the same person, right?
No.
But you know that this guy is still the same in a way where he loves to give back,
mm-hmm.
that God is his foundation, that, you know, that he respects, honors mom and dad, right? His,
yeah.
his parents, et cetera. Those are the things that I'm talking about. Those are the things that innately, like, does not technically change. You
mm-hmm.
just kind of live on with it. But there are things that will change that you have to learn to adapt, readapt, and continue to accept about them, because not everything, you're like, I don't agree with you in this stage, you know, you might not like them in that stage, but, you know, you gotta keep, be that reminder for each other for that lifetime, and be the, that foundation for each other.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah, that's one advice I remember someone
mm-hmm.
telling me is when you find somebody, find someone you can kind of change with,
mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like that's kind of like of the nature of what you're talking about,
you yeah
know, just learn how to adjust. So let me ask you one more question, because I remember I had this question for you in the
mm-hmm.
beginning, preparing for this. What's one message you want people to know about you?
About
if you,
me?
Yeah.
I want, that's so deep, like.
Yeah, it's very broad.
About me. I don't know, like, I just want to be the best in this lifetime. Like, I want, and how do you be the best in this lifetime of the, like, best version of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I think that, again, there's that purpose, right? So you're here for a purpose, and I wanna, even when you pass, because everybody will get there one day, right? I want my impact to be, like, great in a way where it resonates with my kids, or, like, the people that I was surrounded myself with. I want that I impacted people somehow in their life, you know? So for me, and I guess you can, it technically sounds very selfish, but I like to inspire people, because I feel like I have, again, that vision of, like, seeing what someone is great at. Right? So, like, I tend to think positive of whoever it is, mm-hmm. right? Like, whoever, let's say yourself, mm-hmm. right? When you continuously talk to me about wanting to do this podcast, you did it for a long time.
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah, I remember.
And I was telling mm-hmm. you, I was like, you know, there is the you wanting to do it, and I feel like you're ready for it. Mm-hmm. But you, I think you were looking at it from, like, a micro level where, like, man, a macro level where, mm-hmm. like, everything, like, to even start it, it's, like, so great. Like, there's so much to do.
Yeah.
You know, so you were looking at it, man, I gotta get the right equipment. I gotta get this, you know, whatever it was in your head that you were listing. And this is something I tell myself, too, because it's not like I'm a perfect being. Like,
yeah.
Because I also, the reason why I'm like that is because I do it to my own self. Mm-hmm. So, for me, like, I want people to know that I definitely, like, if you are around me and you are my friend and you are someone I really, truly love and respect, I want the best version of you and I want to help you draw that out of you, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I want to be that kind of impact. It doesn't have to be great, but if it's like just like that seed that helps you move and progress to something that you have been saying that you want to do, or even if you didn't say it out loud, like, I just see it in you. Like, man, has anybody ever told you you're a great speaker? Mm-hmm. Has anybody ever told you that, you know, you're, whatever it is, like, you're a great listener,
yeah.
or like that craft that you did right there, that is great. Like, I've never seen it done that way. I feel like that's something that you can do. Like, I think that people are not told that more.
Hmm.
And I feel like that's something that I technically see in others, like, oh man, even if, like, I don't like this person, let's say I don't like this person, like,
yeah.
I still see the good, I'll still somehow find the good in them,
yeah.
and be like, man, they're really, and then you can see, like, the happiest people are, like, in their element,
yeah.
you know, like, they're in the element, you're meant to lead, you're meant to be the speaker, you're meant to be the voice for whatever it is, like, I feel like, what I want people to know about me is that if you're around me and we have conversations, I want you to be the best you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if you need somebody to unpack with, I'm there, you know, so I don't know, like, and that I truly mean well, like, it's not like, oh, she's pushing me too much, and you know what I mean, like, or she's like, whatever, like, sometimes it might sound like I'm being pushy or whatever, but it's really like, man, Jarvis, like, you are going to be so good at it. Like,
mm-hmm.
but there's the doing part, you know, the doing part is like the follow through game is like, where it's going to be. Cause it's not going to be perfect, you know, maybe in the first 2 years, whatever it is,
yeah.
you're going to learn a lot from all of that. And so like, you know, like, for example, for me in the flowers, like, you know, yeah, I had to learn how to, like, you know, I went to schooling for it and I, like, was just so into it, you
mm-hmm.
know, and passionately, like, just wanting to learn, like, what makes a flower thrive the most, a cut flower, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a certain way that you process them in order for them to live the very best of their life,
yeah.
you know, and yeah, that's why when people are like, I wanted to be like that florist where, like, man, their flowers last like 3 weeks in comparison to some, because I wanted to learn each every flower that I use,
yeah.
and how to make them be the best.
Best.
Like,
yeah.
how do I process you the best?
Yeah.
Do I use cold water? Do I use room temp? Do I use flower food? Do I use no flower food? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I wanted to learn when I started. I wanted to learn every flower and, like, everyone that I use
mm-hmm.
into my design
mm-hmm.
to make sure that they thrive the most when I'm not with them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, I guess it's the same way, but, you know.
You're not with them anymore. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
yeah.
And I was thinking the correlation of
mm-hmm.
between you and the flowers while
mm-hmm.
you were talking too, because
mm-hmm.
you believe in, like, planting seeds.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
watching them grow. And then you
mm-hmm.
love, you really love the end result of the flowers,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then you get to pick the flowers.
I get so happy, Jarvis.
Yeah.
Like, when I see, when I started seeing you doing podcasts, I was like, share, you know what I mean? Because it's like, to me,
Thank
it's
you.
Like, this is something that he wanted. And, like, you know, like, like, this is something that I knew he was going to be good at.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, some people just need a little, like, nudge, you know, like, hey, you know?
It was a lot of work for myself, too.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. But it's been very rewarding. More mm-hmm. rewarding than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not on a big stage or anything like that, or met,
got not to yet.
Interview, yeah, got not to interview yet. Beyonce or mm-hmm. anything like that, even though that is a goal of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the lessons that I get, mm-hmm. and the lessons from people I get,
mm-hmm. like learning, along the way.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. work ethic, you know, and when stuff is yours, you see it completely different, because sometimes at a job, you can get stuck at, if it's not yours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can get so complacent and you can be an autopilot.
Yeah.
And you're not even really just thinking too much about the,
I don't want
to say the details, but mm-hmm. it's just like.
Sometimes it is autopilot.
It's a certain passion. And even with my job, sometimes I have to remind myself with the job that I'm doing, the mm-hmm. passion and the purpose. That's what drives me a lot to care. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's many lessons that I learned just from doing this. And so, I'm really grateful that people like you have pushed mm-hmm. me and, you know, believed and say, hey, or even just gave me recommendations. Hey, listen mm-hmm. to this, or mm-hmm. this person's doing it. That's how I met Roger. And so it's like,
if I do know somebody, because mm-hmm. I'm not like the expert at everything, right?
Yeah.
But if I do know somebody that may help you, even just like that smidget,
yeah.
Like I usually connect. Like I try to connect. I'm like, hey, yeah. I know this guy. Yeah. Like, he actually did the whole like, I'm gonna do this podcast thing too. He did it for a while, and I was like, and when he finally did it, I was so happy because he's like, again, he's the same culture and next as you, actually, philosopher. And when he did it, I'm like, okay, can I introduce you to my guy friend, Jarvis, because he wants to do podcasts and, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it may be. I like to push people to be the leader that I think they can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even where I work, like as in the clinical research, it has nothing to do with like a creative thing, right? But it's in the medical field. Like being a part of like growing our team mm-hmm. and training them. Or even having, making sure that they get trained for whatever it is to highlight them at the very best. Oh my gosh, that is just like pure squeeze juice to me. I'm like, man, this is what I want to see. I want to make sure that they
organic.
Yeah, that they are like their best, you know, with the resources that you're giving them, because you can't just like throw them in and be like, okay, hope you survive there, bro. Like, you know, you try to.
It happens in football all the time.
Yeah, but you're learning, but you're learning the hardest way. But if I can help you, if I can introduce or like somehow put you in a training that I know exists,
yeah.
or at least tell you about it,
yeah.
hey man, why not? Yeah. You know,
I think some people underestimate environment, mm-hmm. and that's what you're trying to provide too. Mm-hmm. What it seems, or the, you know, the guide, the environment, mm-hmm. stuff of that nature, but. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Myra, mm-hmm. I really appreciate your time because I don't want to take too much. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Been doing it for quite a while now. But
see, we can talk.
I know.
I talk to you every time. So.
We were talking, about 30 minutes before this?
Oh, yeah. We're like, oh, yeah, we need to start recording.
We literally have to just stop it. Like, hold on. We're giving away too much material without recording.
Yeah.
But thank you for doing this. I want to give you your flowers because I appreciate the love mm-hmm. that you give, and sometimes it seems so real mm-hmm. that, you know, these people, you know, around me, my friends, are actually, like, really supporting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like real life.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate you, you know, supporting and sharing your stories with mm-hmm. others, because I know how special you are. Mm-hmm. And so,
thank you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and one of the things that I love to do is share.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a love language for me too.
Yeah,
I love
to
share.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love to share you with the world.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
you're very welcome. Mm-hmm. But thank you.
Jarvis, awesome. Thank you so much.